You're listening to Ask Me Another, NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, and Trivia. I'm your host, Ophira Eisenberg, and this hour we're featuring some of the most mind-bending games we have ever played. In the studio with me is our puzzle editor, Art Chung, and our next stumper is called Top Row, which unfortunately has nothing to do with Top Shelf. It has everything to do with QWERTYUIOP.
I don't think QWERTYUIOP is a word.
Check your computer.
Well, I'm looking at my computer, and it does stand for the letters on the top of the computer keyboard.
Aha!
QWERTYUIOP.
Exactly.
Well, in this game, Top Row, we asked the contestants to remember all those letters in their head. We didn't give them a computer keyboard, and they had to figure out words that could be spelled using only that row of letters.
Which is more difficult than it sounds.
It was a little difficult and a little sadistic.
Now, standing at attention, we have our next two contestants. We have Joe Alteri and Lorna Jordan ready for our next game. Just as a warm-up, Joe, can you give me any four letters that appear on the top row of a keyboard?
T-R-Q-U?
That's excellent. Well
really?
Done, yeah. Now, Lorna, I know he took four out of the mix there, but can you add a couple to that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, great. Good. I like your attitude.
P-O?
Yeah.
I-N-T?
Yeah, more or less. Okay, yeah. You know what? That's just remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan, what are we going to play?
Well, this game is called The Top Row because all the answers in this game can be typed using only the top row of letters on a computer keyboard. So there are 10 altogether. The 10 next to the tab key, Q, W, E, R, T, Y, U, I, O, and P. A simple mnemonic is to remember the word QWERTYUIOP. And letters can be used more than once in the answer. Here we go. You might use your keyboard to tap out this message, limited to 140 characters. Lorna.
Tweet.
That is right.
RT and HT to Lorna.
Yes.
HT is hat tip. I just learned that. I love it.
That's internet talk. In ballet, a twirl on your toes. Lorna.
Pirouette.
Yes. Some people call a seesaw this. Lorna.
Teeter-totter.
Zing, you are right.
Yes.
An aromatic mixture of dried plants and spices. Joe.
Potpourri.
Yes. Gentlemen should always hold open doors for ladies, according to this. Joe.
Etiquette.
Yes.
Nice.
There's a gentleman right there, obviously.
My chivalry has paid off.
Yeah,
well done.
If you are one of these, you never win. Lorna.
Quitter.
Yes. Brits don't wait in line, they do this. Joe.
Q.
Yes!
Joe is getting all the polite things. He has etiquette, he cues,
you know
he buys potpourri.
Joe is a nice young man, that's why. Before Alaska became a U.S. state, it was a this. Lorna.
Territory.
Yes.
All right. Nice job. All right. That was close, but it turns out, Lorna, you won this round. Congratulations. You'll be moving on to our Ask Me one more final round at the end of the show.
This is a song called Pie.
When ink and pen in hands of men inscribe your form by petal P, they draw an altar on which God has slaughtered all stability. No eyes could ever soak in all the places you anoint, and yet to see you all at once we only need the point. Flirting with infinity, your geometric progeny that fit inside you, oh so tight. Triangles, it feels so right. 3.14159265353589793232864332892879502882197102883219710582097494454
Jonathan Colton.
So Jonathan Colton is our house musical genius, but he actually made a mistake in that song. And if you know what it is, email us at askmeanother@npr.org.
You know what? If you're the first person to email us what he did incorrectly, we're going to give you a prize.
Yeah, they deserve a prize.
We're going to have Jonathan Colton come over to your house and eat pie with you.
That'd be great.
I don't know if he's up for it. I have no idea if he likes pie. I don't know if you like pie, but that's your prize.
I don't know if that's legal. But he'll do it.
He'll do it.
He'll totally do it. So we don't do a lot of math games on our show, and people ask why. And I think the reason is because numbers aren't that interesting as answers to me. You could say, oh, the answer was 4, and it's like, no, the answer was 300.
Right, which is, I can't even imagine what that game is. But our listeners are kind of unique because they want a math game.
Right, they did. And so what we did was we asked our puzzle writers to come up with a music game that combines math with music.
And as far as I'm concerned, you add Prince to anything, and it makes it amazing.
Right now, let's welcome our next two contestants, Jeannie Garbarino and Diane Firstman. We have two very impressive women here, both science buffs. Jeannie, you work in health science?
Yeah, I'm the director of science outreach at the Rockefeller University.
Diane, you're a data analyst at the New York City Department of Corrections?
Yes, I am.
What does that even mean?
We analyze population trends in correctional facilities on Rikers Island and throughout the city.
Wow. This game is called Algebraic Music. Jonathan, this game sounds like it might be formulaic.
Yes. It is a game without equal. It's a real plus. In this game, I'm going to play songs that feature a number in the title. The catch is that I'm going to replace that number with an algebraic expression. Jeannie just turned away from the microphone and swore under her breath. To win the point, you'll have to solve for X to make the mathematical expression in the song correct. So we're not looking for the original number, we're looking for the value of X. For yeah, math is fun, everybody. For example, if I said, as Jay-Z does, I've got X times 9 problems, you would say that X equals 11 because Jay-Z had 99 problems. And 11 times 9 equals 99. Of course, I will be singing these mathematical expressions because that's sort of my thing. Are you ready or would you like to give up? Here we go.
I got my first real 6-string, bought it at the 5 and dime, played it till my fingers bled. Was the summer of X plus 5?
Diane.
X is 64.
You got it. Summer of 69 by Bryan Adams. 64 plus 5 equals 69.
When I come home, yeah, I know I'm gonna be the man who comes back home to you. If I grow old, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who's growing old with you. But I would walk X times 10 miles, and I would walk X times 10 more just to be the man who walks 1,000 miles to fall down at your door.
Jeannie?
500.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Diane?
50?
50, X times 10 miles.
Sorry. I thought it was 5,000.
I like that. The guy in your story is walking further. Yeah.
He's walking 5,000 miles.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
He's got to work at it.
He might not be taking a direct route.
No.
It takes X plus 4 to make a thing go right. It takes X plus 4 to make it out of sight. Hit it!
Diane?
Negative 2.
That's right, negative 2. That's right. We're working both sides of the number line, people. X plus 4, negative 2. Sky was all purple, there were people running everywhere. Trying to run from the destruction, you know I didn't even care. Say, say, 2000, zero, zero, party over, oops, out of time. So tonight I'm gonna party like it's X plus 59. Genie.
1940.
1940, you got it. We all play the game when we dare. Cheat ourselves in solitaire. Venting lovers on the phone. Repenting of the lives unknown. But call and say, come dance with me. And murmur vague obscenities. At ugly girls like me. At X plus 3. Diane?
14.
That's right, 14. All right, this is your last clue.
If I had X times $10.
If I had X times $10.
Well, I'd buy you a K-car.
A nice reliant automobile.
If I had X times $10, I'd buy your love.
Is that Jeannie?
I think so. 100,000.
That's right, 100,000. John Chinesky, how'd they do?
Wow, that was some complicated game, but Diane takes it away.
Thank you so much, Jeannie. Well done, Diane. We'll see you at the end of the show. If your idea of playing sports is being a mathlete, then you should be on our show, or at least come see it. Send us an email at askmeanother@npr.org, or you can find us on Twitter or Facebook. We'll send you a quiz and see if you are able to leap tall fractions in a single bound. For tickets, go to amatickets.org.
So far, all of these games have had answers, which I know sounds obvious, but I mean like real answers, quantifiable answers, something you Google and get the answer. But sometimes we like to stretch our puzzle writers' creative powers and get them to write a quiz with imaginary answers.
That's right, Afira. By imaginary answers, we mean like puns, because who doesn't love a good pun?
I love a good pun.
Hey, Afira, knock knock.
Who's there?
Dishes.
Dishes who?
Dishes, NPR.
That's a good one. I like that.
Yeah, I don't know why they cut it from our last episode.
Because they were wrong. Let's see how our contestants did in this pun-based game called Imperial Pets.
Joining us right now are our next two contestants, Denise Grab and Mike Sherratt. Hi. You guys are hugging. You're already pals.
We are.
We're besties.
How do you feel about animals? Denise, any pets?
I don't have any pets. I think we have some spiders I've been finding around my house. I don't know if those count.
Do you name them, the spiders?
Depends on how I'm feeling that day. If I'm feeling a little lonely, yeah.
Oh. Mike, do you have any pets?
I do. I have two English bulldogs. One is named Jeter, and I think it's named after a Met, but I'm not sure. And the other one is Jahira. Took her from a very bad family and put her into a great family, and that family also accepted me into it. And so both of us are doing very well. Thank you very much.
Oh, good. This game is called Imperial Pets. When it comes to pets, it's hard not to treat them like little furry versions of yourself. Just ask Katy Perry, who fondly named her cat Kitty Purry. That is true. So in this game, we're going to ask you to create adorable pet versions of historical world leaders, which will be an animal-based pun on the world leader's name. So puzzle guru John Chinesky, can you please give us an example?
Sure. If we said, this fickle feline brought communism to China and was its most fearsome leader until he passed away in 1976, you would say, Chairman Meow.
Ring in when you know the answer, and the winner will move on to our Ask Me One More final round at the end of the show. Reviled by his cousin Mickey during World War II, this right-wing rodent made the trains run on time in Italy. World leader? Yeah. Denise?
Benito Mussolini.
That is great. Well done. Feeling pretty good about yourself right now? That was pretty great, right, to get that? I saw you look up to the heavens. The heavens gave you the answer, and then you delivered. After he succeeded Boris Yeltsin as Russia's top dog in 1999, he's enjoying hunting without a shirt. Luckily, the poofy haircut on his head, ankles, and buttocks keep him warm.
Vladimir Putin.
Do you want to give me that again, Mike?
Putin.
You know what? We'll take it. Vladimir Putin, sure.
When he was dictator of Cambodia, this brutal parrot kept saying he wanted crackers for the Khmer Rouge all the time. Denise.
Polly Pot.
Polly Pot. That is right. It's getting easier on you guys. It's getting easier. Always yelping about her godly visions, this poor puppy was burned at the stake by the French, or the Frenchies, after she led them to victory over the English. Mike.
Who is Joan of Arc?
Joan of Arc, that is correct.
We do want to remind you, you are not on Jeopardy.
Yeah, you don't have to start with who is.
Thank you. Yeah.
A lot more is at stake here, just remember that. This tough-talking aquatic pet almost didn't become the first female prime minister of Israel after she was caught canoodling with a scuba diver in her bowl. Denise.
Goldfish Meir.
Goldfish Meir is correct. Also, her actual nickname. I don't know if you know that. This is your final question. Despite a devotion to Buddhist principles of peace, this spiritual ruler of Tibet is known to spit like a camel. Denise.
Who is?
That was Denise.
Dalai Lama.
Dalai Lama, that's right. John Chinesky.
Well, that was a great game, but the best in show, at least for this game, is Denise. Nice work.
Congratulations, Denise. Thank you so much, Mike. Next, we'll revisit an insanely hard game about quirky chess grandmasters. We'll talk to the grand puzzle master himself, Will Shorts, plus his Ask Me One More Final game, which will either be easy or impossible, depending on how your brain works. This is Ask Me Another from NPR and WNYC.